worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you that your blessed apostles Peter and Paul glorified you by their martyrdoms. Grant that your church throughout the world may always be instructed by their teaching and example, be knit together in unity by your Spirit, and ever stand firm upon the one foundation, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is a reading from Acts. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before an iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 87 responsively. On the holy mountain stands the city God has founded. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God.
Of the city shall be said, "Everyone who is born in Zion, and the Most High shall sustain the city."
In rolling the nations, the Lord records, "These also were born there."
The singers and the dancers will say, "All my fresh springs are in you." Glory to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O
Christ.
June 29th is the calendar date of the Feast of Peter and Paul, and that trumps the ordinary Sunday after Pentecost. So when June 29th falls on an ordinary Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of Peter and Paul. So we have red pyramids and vestments today, and we have scripture that focuses on these two great men of the Bible. In some ways, I feel sort of sorry for Peter and Paul that they have to share the limelight on the church calendar. I don't think they really liked each other all that much. And here we are a couple thousand of years later, and they're still linked together in the celebration, in our remembrances. Together, they are the foundation of the early church. In ministry and in temperament, however, they are nearly opposites. Peter, the impetuous braggart who could only be counted on to back out when things got tough, and yet always repented and always persevered, and he became the rock, the foundation stone of the church. And Paul, the fervent defender of the Jewish faith, the early persecutor of any who would veer from that faith. And he had the insight to realize that the early church needed some changes, needed to allow for change in that expression of religion if it were to become a truly universal church. And he had the courage to maintain his convictions even in the face of strong and sometimes violent opposition. But even as opposites, they share more than a calendar date. Both of these men teach us great truths of Christ's redemptive love. Peter, the great denier, and Paul, the great persecutor, were brought to their knees by Jesus Christ, and they were both lifted to their feet and sent walking and talking of the life and death and resurrection of their Savior, Jesus Christ. In that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles that is told in this window, we hear of the miraculous experience of Peter. He was scheduled for execution. In a sense, he was sitting on death row, and God intervened. An angel appeared in the jail cell, told Peter, "Get up, get dressed," and the chains that had bound him were undone. On death row in the prisons, the prisoner was chained between two guards. So you weren't just in a cell room locked. You were linked chain to chain with your guard on either side, wrists, waist, and ankles. So when Peter sees this vision of the angel that says, get up and get dressed, the angels stayed sleeping. I mean, the guards stayed sleeping, didn't even stir. Peter thought it was a dream, didn't believe it was really happening until he found himself outside. Cool night air kind of woke him up in a sense, and he realized where he was and what had happened. I think this is a great image for us. We have been unbound. We have been set free, sent walking through our baptism in Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are free to follow as disciples of Jesus. But like Peter, who thought he was dreaming, we don't quite believe it either. We act like we're still unredeemed sinners. We act like we, too often we live like we're still in the grip of sin, that sin still holds us bound. Sometimes we just call it bad habits. But we are unbound. We are set free. We do not have to be held in the bind of our bad habits, of our sinful nature. We are free to live as redeemed Christians. The second reading focuses on Paul. The author of 2 Timothy speaks in the voice of Paul and gives a kind of a summary of his faith life. Paul looks back on his life as some kind of a contest. He says it's like a foot race. And he won that race by keeping the faith even in the midst of troubles. He holds on to the truth, that the truth that the Lord has stood by him no matter what was going on, that the Lord was always with him in the midst of trouble, that the Lord has kept him safe even in the midst of all of those terrible things that happened to him, shipwreck, floggings, imprisonment, hunger, all of the bad things that Paul has a tendency to continue to list when he's talking about his life in the faith, even in the midst or maybe because of it, his faith stays strong. He knows that the Lord is with him, and he continues to proclaim that message of salvation for all people saved by God's grace. I think this is a great word of victory for us to hear while we are in the midst of our own race, our rat race, our life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm a little lagging in the race, kind of bringing up the rear, trying to keep going. And we hear this word of the Lord that says to us, God is standing next to us. God is running with us. God is always accompanying us on our journey, on our race, in our rat race, in our life. That no matter what we're going through, the Lord is there with us. It's a word of good news. God's with us no matter what we're going through. God is there with us. That no matter how poured out, how spent, how done in we may feel, God is with us, and our good shepherd will care for us. We heard in that reading from John's Gospel, the image of God as shepherd is prominent. And in this scene, our window over on this side of the sanctuary, Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? And three times Peter replies, yes, you know that I love you. And each time Jesus gives Peter a shepherd's task. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Now Peter must have felt a little frustrated, even hurt, it sounds in the gospel, because Jesus didn't understand his answer. That ever happened to you? Do you ever felt like Jesus didn't understand exactly what you're asking or what you're going through, what you're trying to do? Well, we're in pretty good company. Even Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, who had heard every sermon that Jesus preached, had just witnessed a miraculous catch of fish and was there at the moment talking with Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and he's struggling with his relationship. But in that struggle, the relationship is made strong. Peter, who three times denied even knowing Jesus, now professes his love and is given the command to follow Jesus by being a shepherd to his people. That's our assignment too. We are members of the kingdom of God, sheep of his own fold, lambs of his flock, sinners of his redeeming. We are loved and cared for as lambs of the flock, as a shepherd tends his lambs. We are sought out like the lost sheep that is searched for and found, and when found, carried home in great joy. And we are called to do the shepherding. We, who are the beloved children of God, are to feed the hungry ones, to care for the poor and the innocent ones. In the light of God's grace and love, we extend our hands to the lost lambs of God's flock and bring them home. Did you ever see the movie or the play Fiddler on the Roof? You know, that wonderful scene where between Tevye and Golda, this old married couple. And he starts singing this song and he says, "Golda, do you love me?" And she says, "Ugh, must be having indigestion. Go lay down." And he says, "Golda, do you love me?" And she goes, "My gosh, for all these years I've mended your clothes, I've cooked your meals, I've given you children, and now what's this talk of love?" And he says, "Golda, I just want to know." You're lucky I don't sing. I just want to hear you. Tell me, do you love me?" And she says, "Well, gosh, I guess you call it love. I suppose I do." And Tevye smiles and says, "After all these years, it's just good to know. It's just good to hear that word, to hear it for sure." Jesus is asking Peter in that same way, "Do you love me, Peter?" Like Tevye, Jesus wants assurance. He wants to let Peter give that definitive statement of love. Just say it. Just do it. You know, that's a question for you too, that Jesus speaks to our hearts today. And we know the answer to this question. We answer this question every day. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And we say it when we remember our baptism and we claim for ourselves membership in the family of God. We are answering that question. We say it when we reach out our hand to receive the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus that is offered to us in love, in grace, when we are fed and nourished with God's very self. We say it when we extend our hand in a gesture of peace and fellowship to one another, offering God's grace, God's peace. We say it in simple ways, and we say it in profound ways. We say it in simple ways, like caring for God's flock, tending his sheep. We say it when we recycle, when we conserve energy and water, God's gifts to us. I read this little thing at the fair. that if you move your speedometer from 70 to 60, you save 17% of your fuel. It's amazing. That's a way of answering God's question, do you love me? By conserving, by sharing, by saving this planet that he has given to us. We answer it by using fair trade goods and being mindful of the poor. We answer it by donating time and money and energy to programs like Loaves and Fishes and Taco that help the homeless in our community. And there are so many other ways that we answer the question, do you love me? Watch what I do, is our response to Jesus. When Jesus asks that question, do you love me? We can say, watch. Look at me. Watch how I live. And you know the answer to that question. In truth, this celebration of Peter and Paul is really our celebration too. Like Peter and Paul, you and I are called to be the teachers and the proclaimers. We are called to be the flock and the shepherds. Like Peter, we are called to be willing to express our love when we show it in words and in works of mercy and in justice. We're like Peter or Paul. We're like Paul when we express and encourage and teach, when we remember that God is with us through everything in all of our stages and places in life. So Jesus says to you today, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? What do you say to Jesus today? How will you live your answer?